progesterone is known as the calming hormone. It can reduce anxiety, promote better sleep, but oftentimes women have too little of it. You can be dealing with mood swings, anxiety, PMS, those heavy periods. Insufficient progesterone can also cause things like insomnia and fatigue in that luteal phase. If you go overloaded on progesterone, you could also have fatigue, but it's much more rare to have too much progesterone. It's pretty rare.
Welcome to the Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast. This is your podcast host, Leah Brueggemann. I am a functional diagnostic nutritional practitioner. Here you are going to get actionable steps you can take today to start balancing your hormones naturally so that you can maximize your menstrual cycle for painless periods, more energy, and weight loss. Let's dive on in.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back. I don't know. Is it welcome back? You're just tuning in every week. I love you, literally. Like, if you tune in every week and you listen to these episodes, I love you. If you still just like come back every third episode, it's okay. I still love you. But we are going to talk about hormones. Surprise, surprise. It's almost like it's the title of the podcast. But specifically, I want to do a little breakdown of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. What are they? What do they do? What are their effects on your mood, your energy, your hair, your fertility, and all that? Because I think sometimes we go, oh, I have hormonal imbalance, you know, but like, what is that? What do these hormones do? What functions do they do? So we can all get it straight and know what's going on in our bodies. Okay. So let's break it down. So when we think about sex hormones, you primarily probably think about progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. Maybe you don't. Those are the ones we're going to be talking about. Now, this is not going to be like the deepest of deepest dives into estrogen. So we're not going to be going into like estrone and estradiol. We're just going to just say estrogen, you know, estrogen across the board. We can dive into a little bit deeper into estrogen, maybe in another episode. Okay. But let's start with estrogen. Now, what is it? So it is one of our primary female sex hormones, produced mainly by the ovaries. Smaller amounts are produced by the adrenal glands. Now, something that I think is important to know is that actually small amounts can be produced by fat tissue. So if you are someone that is trying to lose weight and you have excess fat tissue, it is very possible that you also potentially may be dealing with an overload of estrogen. Something to kind of consider there. So something else to know about estrogen is that, you know, it builds up and thickens our uterine lining to prepare us for ovulation and therefore pregnancy, supports our reproductive health. It does promote the growth and maintenance of our bone health. So that is really, really important. It does also help regulate our mood. Estrogen makes us more sensitive to insulin. So that means therefore we utilize carb better. So if you're like, okay, well, how does it do that? So estrogen helps produce what's called serotonin. It's one of our mood stabilizing neurotransmitters, and it improves our serotonin receptor sensitivity. So this is often maybe potentially why you go in the follicular phase. You have better energy, better mood, everything seems better. Thank you, estrogen. But if we have massive fluctuations of it, if it's getting way too high and then plummeting in our luteal phase, you know, maybe you're not loving it so much because it's giving you irritability, depression, mood swings, and all of that. Like I did say, estrogen does sensitize your cells to insulin. So obviously that's going to affect our metabolic health, which is really, really good. Again, not an overload. If we have too high levels of it, you can be dealing with probably potentially things like irritability, anxiety, mood swings. You're going to be dealing with things like headaches pre-period, maybe potentially PMS. But again, if it's too low, you may be dealing with depression. You could be dealing with fatigue. You could be dealing with brain fog. All of those are common. Now, again, I'm not saying that if you have one of those symptoms, you have low or high estrogen, because more can play into that role. But I just want you to kind of like put these into the categories of like, oh, okay, so this is what estrogen does. And then we go on from there. So when we think about estrogen, right, it's the dominant hormone in our follicular and ovulatory phase, right? So it starts rising when we're on our period, our hormones are at their lowest, and then estrogen starts rising. So our brain says ovaries start making estrogen, and then it keeps rising. We start creating cervical mucus. We're living our life. Our lips are more full. Everything's great. And then ovaries say, hey, brain, we've reached maximum levels of our estrogen that you wanted us to. And then brain says, great, release LH hormone, ovaries, and then it releases LH hormone. And we ovulate, and then estrogen should start coming back down. It should come down, and we'll have one more gentle rise before it drops for our period. So that is your rise and fall of your estrogen throughout your cycle. We need that estrogen, obviously, to ovulate. We need it to help with insulin sensitivity. We need it to help with mood stability. We need it to help with growth and maintenance of our bones. We need it for our brain health, mood regulation, all of that. So even though everybody likes to give estrogen a bad rap, we do need estrogen, right? We just walked through all of the different ways and things that we need from estrogen and how it can be really helpful for us, right? Now, the thing with estrogen is that it is so easy for things to get out of balance with estrogen because of all of our endocrine disruptors in our everyday life, right? So if you have artificial fragrance, if you are using anything like phthalates, plastics, anything that have what we call xenoestrogens, your hormones are little chemical messengers, and we have hormone receptors in our body. And if we have all these false estrogens and we have all these xenoestrogens coming in and blocking up those receptors, and then our hormones can't communicate, we're really plummeting down not so great a cliff. And because of the fact that there's just so many xenoestrogens out there, I do find that I think that's why a lot of women tend to go put themselves into the category of estrogen dominance with their symptoms. They have too much estrogen. But you have to kind of think about estrogen as a whole. So not just our levels of estrogen, but how we detox and move estrogen, right? And that's where I think you need to be looking at your gut health and your liver health. If we don't have optimal gut health and we aren't able to literally move the estrogen out, then of course we're going to have this recirculating estrogen that's going to obviously cause issues. So is it an issue of us producing too much, or is it an issue of us not being able to get rid of it, right? And then our liver detoxes and gets rid of excess used up hormones. And if the liver is not up to par, if the liver doesn't have what it needs to do its job, then again, it's not getting out, right? So this is why it's important when we're talking about our hormones and what they do in the levels is not just hark on that hormone and be like, you're the issue, right? Because it may not be the issue. It could be the issue of our detox pathways. It could just not be getting out correctly, right? So just kind of like as you're thinking about what estrogen does, don't just yell at estrogen right now. Also kind of take in a moment and be like, okay, am I pooping every day? Like, what's my gut health like? You know, am I sleeping through the night? Am I supporting my liver function? All of those, right? All play a big role. Okay, so estrogen, which we said, estrogen builds up our uterine lining, preparing us for ovulation and then therefore pregnancy. And even if you are not trying to get pregnant, you still need estrogen to do its job because fertility is a sign of your health. If we aren't having an ovulation, we aren't having balanced sex hormones. Did you hear all of the other things that I told you these hormones impact, like maintenance and growth of bones, brain health, mood regulation, inflammation, metabolic health? So it is important that they're all doing their job, right? Hey ladies, so this end of the year, pre-year time, I think can be really tricky when it comes to the things that make you feel good, like maybe your routines of movement, your blood sugar. We want to eat the cookies. We feel guilty about the cookies. We want to do all of these things, but maybe we don't feel so good about it afterwards. You end the year just feeling guilty, puffy, bloated, or you keep telling yourself, I'll wait till the new year. But then the new year comes around and
It's crazy to me, the statistics of this time of year, women gain anywhere from 1 to 5 pounds, not of water weight, actual pounds. And then that just keeps multiplying every single year. But more importantly, I think that it just is a struggle for us mentally to find that balance of enjoying all of the things and all the traditions with your family while also being mindful of what's serving your goals and what makes you feel good. And it's not about all or nothing. It's really about maybe doing a little bit less or maybe planning a little bit ahead. And that is why I created this blood sugar masterclass. I titled it Preventing the Unwanted Weight Gain with Mastering Blood Sugar During the Holidays. And that's exactly what it is. So of course, it is a live masterclass. You're going to be on with me and we're going to be going deep into actually looking at your meals and how do we master this blood sugar, but then how do we navigate it specifically around the holidays? What do we change? What would we add in? What do we take out? What do we do to make this doable? And then we're going to be going over some of my top favorite recipes that we will love because I love them. My family loves them. And then also we're going to be going over some of my top favorite like supplements and routines for overall metabolic health. So I think you'll really like that as well. So you can go to bit.ly/holiday blood sugar. We'll also make sure that that's in the show notes for you. But again, it's bit.ly/holiday blood sugar for this masterclass. It is going to be December 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern. I will be on live. I highly recommend coming on live for this. If you can't make it on live and you do join, you will be sent the replay and you will be able to download it and save it. But I would obviously highly recommend being on live if you can. Again, it's go to bit.ly/holiday blood sugar. So if estrogen is building up our uterine lining, I want you to think about progesterone. So it stops like the building up of the uterine lining from estrogen. Once we ovulate, that follicle that released the egg forms what's called the corpus luteum, which is now producing your progesterone. So I want you to think about estrogen was building it up, and progesterone comes in and it says stop. And then it like makes it like your uterus lining like a big fluffy pillow for implantation. That's like the best way I can describe it. So like if you are dealing with like way too heavy of periods, a lot of times this can be a red flag to look at progesterone levels. Like maybe we don't have optimal progesterone levels that are coming in and stopping that estrogen growth and like, you know, just making our uterus a big fluffy pillow opposed to it just continuing to get heavier and heavier. And then if our period blood is like way too low, then it's like, okay, then potentially like, are we not producing enough estrogen, not building up enough of that uterine lining? So anyway, I think that that's kind of important to kind of think about in terms of like your uterine lining growth. Like what do those do? Estrogen builds it up, thickens it, and then progesterone comes in, makes it like a nice fluffy pillow for pregnancy implantation. So it is balancing the effects of that estrogen. Now, it is produced primarily by the ovaries. After ovulation is produced by that corpus luteum, but it is produced in smaller amounts by the adrenal glands. And that's going to be your primary production of progesterone after menopause is going to be the adrenal glands. And actually when you are pregnant and placenta is fully developed, then placenta is actually going to be producing progesterone. So the corpus luteum is producing the progesterone until the placenta is fully formed, and then progesterone passes off the baton and placenta takes over. So the other big thing that progesterone does is it has a very calming effect on the brain through interactions with GABA, which is your calming neurotransmitter. So often progesterone is known as like the calming hormone. It can reduce anxiety, promote better sleep, but oftentimes what happens is that women have too little of it, and you can obviously be dealing with like mood swings, anxiety, poor stress tolerance, PMS, those heavy periods. Insufficient progesterone can also cause things like insomnia and fatigue in that luteal phase. Now, it's interesting because if you go overloaded on the progesterone, you can also have fatigue. But I would say that
it's much more rare to have too much progesterone. It's pretty rare. If you have too much progesterone, some interesting things that I'm not saying that this is what's caused it, but I would just look into like ovarian cysts or like any tumors that we potentially could have, like candida overgrowth, mercury toxicity are all things that I personally would be looking at if we had too high of progesterone. Not saying you have any of those. I'm just saying I would look at them. Again, that one is a little bit more rare. And let's talk about why it's more rare. So the thing that impacts our progesterone levels, we need strong, good quality egg quality. So we have a strong corpus luteum, right? And what we're doing right now is going to impact that corpus luteum, that egg quality, 3 cycles from now. So you have to be consistent in what we're doing, obviously, in order to impact that progesterone. Like, we need to be looking at things that impact egg quality there. Guess what? Ding, ding, ding. Endocrine disruptors and removing them from your life actually impacts estrogen and progesterone very positively by removing them. So you can kill multiple birds with one stone by doing that. Some other things that you want to look at just in terms of egg quality is getting in the nutrients that we need for optimal egg quality, like zinc and CoQ10. And those are in a lot of vitamin A, a lot of those rich foods that are rich in that are foods not necessarily that we eat as common, right? Like chicken thighs are higher in zinc than chicken breasts, but people typically opt for chicken breast, so chicken thighs over there. Beef is another one that's high in those. Beef organs is really high in those. Grass-fed butter would be high in your vitamin A. Beef organs are going to be high in your CoQ10 and your zinc, you know. So it tends to be foods that impact that are foods that maybe we just don't eat as often. So something to kind of think about there. Another thing to think about is that progesterone comes from pregnenolone. If you think about your grandfather, grandmother, hormone all the way up there. And so progesterone comes from pregnenolone, but cortisol also comes from pregnenolone as well. And so when we think about those two, cortisol is that fight or flight hormone. It's our stress hormone, and your body is always going to prioritize keeping you safe. So producing like the cortisol over producing progesterone, because it wants to keep you safe more than it wants you to like not be PMS-y, more than it wants you to have a baby. And so if we are constantly under that chronic fight or flight, then obviously we're going to be having issues with our progesterone levels. Now, something I just want you to just noodle, like let it sink in, think about it, come back to it, yell at me later, is that the people who say that they're not stressed are sometimes the most stressed people out there. It's just that you're very good at handling it and like squashing it down and ignoring it, and you're very high functioning in that level. So if you have a lot of issues with progesterone and you go, well, I'm really good at managing my stress, I would just, I don't know, take another gander at that, maybe another look-see. I bet you brush your teeth every morning. I know I brush my teeth every morning, and I brush them every single night. And something that I changed over in my wellness holistic routine a long time ago was toothpaste. I didn't want fluoride in my toothpaste, but I also really wanted to not get cavities. And I also really wanted my breath to smell good. And I also really wanted my teeth to be whitened by my toothpaste and all of the things. I was asking a lot of my toothpaste, and I would get one or the other, but I could never get all of them in the same toothpaste until I tried Wellness toothpaste, which if you haven't tried them, you're going to want to after this. So I use the Fresh Mint Whitening Toothpaste from Wellness, and I've been using them for years. This is not something new to me, but I'm so happy that they're partnering with us. They are fluoride free, and they use a naturally occurring mineral that makes your tooth enamel stronger, basically. So it's a non-toxic version of fluoride, and it's called hydroxyapatite. I'm sorry, you guys, that word kills me every time, but I'm getting better at it. And the reason why I chose wellness over others is because they have small particle hydroxyapatite, not nano. And the reason why is I don't actually want nano because I don't want it crossing that blood-brain barrier. So I want small particle. And it's actually very rare to find this in toothpaste. They either just don't have it or they have nano, and I don't want nano. So took me a while, but I found it. Wellness is amazing. They have small particle, like I said. They also have aloe vera that eliminates disease-causing bacteria, and they have green tea powder, which helps combat bad breath, and it eliminates all of the gross bacteria that you don't want in your mouth, which is important because our gut microbiome starts in our mouth. It starts with our oral microbiome. So I use the fresh mint. You will actually notice a difference in the whitening in your teeth. And my kids use the strawberry and they love that one. I also have their floss, which is great. So you have to go through their link to get the discount. But if you just go to wellness.com/Leah, you'll be able to get up to 20% off your whitening toothpaste. So that's wellness.com/Leah. Go through the link and you will be able to grab your toothpaste. Okay, now on to testosterone. So I don't know why testosterone is like, this is the male hormone. It's not. It's like really important for women. It's just a hormone. It's produced in small amounts by your ovaries and your adrenal glands. Good things that it does that we love is it supports libido. It maintains muscle mass and bone density. It enhances motivation, focus, energy, mood stability. It helps combat depression, reduces feelings of like lethargy. And you're like, wait, I've never heard all these positive things about testosterone. All I hear about testosterone is when it's like in the overload, like when it's in aggression is not the word I'm looking for. When it's in overabundance in PCOS, you probably always hear about the negative effects of the testosterone, which the thing about testosterone and your androgens is that, yes, we do love it, but we love it in balance. The same as with estrogen. Too much is not great. When we have too much of it, you can have like symptoms of aggression. You can have irritability. You can have mood swings. You can have unwanted hair growth. You can have unwanted hair loss. When it is way, way, way too low, you can have lack of motivation, irritability, depression, fatigue, low libido, all of those things. So testosterone is not at the same level throughout your cycle. So it is lower and builds up. It's going to peak around ovulation, and then it's going to slowly come back down and just, you know, stay at a lower level until your period. So it does ebb and flow. It's not going to be at the same level throughout your whole cycle. So I think that's kind of important to know and to think about when you're looking at, you know, everything together. But the other thing to think about with testosterone and androgens, because I'll have women say like, I have all these symptoms of like excess androgens, but my levels just keep coming back normal. I know we know normal is not optimal. I feel like you know that if you listen to this podcast. I'm not going to beat a dead horse here. But something you do kind of want to look at is the pathways by which they move. So you have what's called the alpha and the beta pathway. And a lot of times if you have normal testosterone, but you have all of the side effects of high testosterone, it's potential that you are actually coming down that alpha pathway, which makes testosterone stronger, which makes your androgen stronger. So it will give you a lot of those side effects, even though the levels of it aren't as high. So we want to favor that beta pathway. The other thing that you want to look at is your sex hormone binding globulin. Is that high or is it low? Like how much free testosterone do you have? How much available testosterone? You know, because maybe, again, maybe you are someone, for example, that's dealing with a lot of the symptoms of low testosterone. And then you look and you're like, well, my testosterone's fine. But then you look at the sex hormone binding globulin is really, really high and your free testosterone is really, really low. Well, then that could explain your symptoms. Does that make sense? Like whenever we're looking at all these hormones and the levels and the symptoms, you have to take in the whole story, right? So if, for example, someone has all of these symptoms of low testosterone, but testosterone levels are quote unquote normal, you need to keep digging. You need to keep going, okay, well, why does this not make sense? Is there something else? Is there another hormone I should be looking at? Like, what is kind of going on here? Is my body not utilizing this correctly? So I think that's kind of interesting to really think about. So if you're dealing with really, really low levels of testosterone, you know, something really simple that you can start doing to help with this is building muscle. Doing strength training. That's going to be really, really, really helpful. Okay. So now the other thing that I want to just kind of like think about with this, when we talk about the hormones and like what each of them kind of did symptom wise and like what their roles are in the different functions in your body, is that none of them play by themselves. So I know sometimes people are like, well, how can I have one low hormone and the rest are fine? Or how are all of my hormones low? Well, they all interact. So if one is off, it's going to start pulling the other ones eventually to be off as well, right? Or if we have really high estrogen, maybe potentially we're dealing with lower progesterone because it's not keeping that estrogen as in check as we would like it to be, right? So we have to make sure that when you're looking at your cycle and your hormones, you're looking at all of them together, not just one of them by themselves, right? So that's why oftentimes when you guys hear me talk about things that you can start incorporating and you go, well, I don't exactly have hypoglycemia or reactive hypoglycemia, so I shouldn't pay attention to the blood sugar balance. It's like, well, if you're having issues with progesterone, you 100% need to start paying attention to your blood sugar balance because it impacts that. Like everything works together. Okay. So if you're going to kind of think about your cycle as a whole and the beginning part of your cycle before ovulation, estrogen is the dominant one. And testosterone will peak at ovulation, but it's kind of like also a baseline throughout your cycle. And then the second half of your cycle after ovulation, luteal phase, progesterone really needs to be that dominant one, promoting our chill, calm, happy self, right? Now, what happens is that a lot of times, because of the correlation with progesterone and cortisol and the correlation with egg quality and progesterone levels, unfortunately, that second half of the cycle is sometimes really, 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 really bad for people. And they'll have mood swings, anxiety, insomnia, fatigue, irritability, PMS, PMDD. So I think a lot of times progesterone gets such a bad rap. The luteal phase gets such a bad rap for that. And we all yell at estrogen for being too high and progesterone for being too low, but they do work in tangent there, right? So if estrogen does its job correctly and then progesterone does its job correctly in the second half, then we're all happy, right? But this is where you don't just yell at one, right? They work together. We know what estrogen works on certain neurotransmitter and progesterone works on neurotransmitters. So like they're both affecting things, right? So that's where coming in with your baseline things that impact all of these hormones in a positive way is going to be so important, right? Like I am a broken record here, you guys, but we need to be getting our movement in. We need to be supporting our blood sugar balance so that insulin can stay more stable. Getting in movement with strength training so that helps with our insulin. We need to be detoxing our stress bucket. Like we need to be emptying our stress bucket every single day, doing something to do, empty it every day. I feel like if you're balancing your blood sugar, you're also kind of hitting the boat of like getting a more nutrient dense food naturally. So I feel like that's, not important to say, getting outside, getting sunshine, saying no to things that aren't serving you, prioritizing good sleep, making sure we're getting in enough healthy fat so that we can create the hormones, you know, make sure we're not deficient in any type of minerals that impact us. Like, you know, guys know that one of the biggest ones that I talk about all the time is magnesium, because magnesium is used in over 500 different enzyme reactions in the body. And 78% of women in the US are deficient in magnesium, which is a lot of women, right? So that's why, you know, making sure we're balanced in those terms can be really helpful for supporting our overall hormonal health. And I know it's boring. Who wants to talk about balancing blood sugar and prioritizing sleep and doing meditation and quieting your mind and doing something fun and reading? Nobody wants to talk about that. Just tell me what supplement to take, Leah. I don't know what supplement to give you because I don't know what your labs are. So start with the overall support that's going to impact all of these hormones, and your life will be so much better. I promise you. Okay, I hope that you feel a little bit closer to all three of your hormones now and they are not as daunting to you. Please let me know if this resonates with you. Do you like this episode? What kind of episodes do you want to see? Send me a nice message on Instagram telling me that, and I will take your advice and maybe make an episode about it. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Balancing Hormones Naturally. If you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with a friend and post it on your stories and tag Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast so we can get this message out. You can find me on Instagram at Leah_BRUEG, and I would absolutely love to hear from you.